Hello, welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, we have had some good weather up here in the Northeast. My cat is busy attacking birds in the window behind us, and it's a nice sunny day out there, so hard to complain about too much.
Yeah, for sure. We were supposed to podcast last week, and I texted you about 20 minutes before, and I was like, I don't want a podcast. I just want to hang out and go to the park with my kids, and so I did, and it was really great. So yeah, it's that time of year for us who choose to live in this weather to say, like, we're out of here. Go enjoy it. Yeah.
It is nice. Like, whenever I go south in the winter, it's like, oh, like getting the 70-degree days, it's amazing. But having lived in Florida, I mean, you obviously lived there longer. It's like, you do get used to it. And it's a nice thing to get used to, but there is very, I can't imagine ever being this excited otherwise about, like, a high 50s day that's like really sunny out. It's just like there's something to be said about the seasons. But yeah, we're also getting ready to do sort of a housewarming thing here this weekend. And we've had like people over, like one couple at a time kind of a thing, but never just been like, okay, like, yeah, everyone come over. And so the pressure is up to get all these projects and everything else wrapped up. And it's been, last week was pretty nuts trying to get caught up on things. And this week, I just know it's like, I'm not a super handy guy. And so it's like, I'll start a project. I'm like, this won't be that bad. And it's like, oh, we got to do this first. And like, oh, but this doesn't work. And then it just snowballs. So I'm hoping I get out of this sooner rather than later and then can just take a break for the projects. But you've got a ton of stuff at your house you're working on, I know, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like we can frame this in like a slightly broader sense of like everyone talks about like work-life balance, that like work infringes into your personal life a lot. But I think that what we're talking about a little bit is like working from home, that home comes to work with you, kind of the other way around. And yeah, I mean, from our end, our house is 97 years old and like was quite cheap, like for the current market and everything, because like it needed a new heating system, it needed a new roof, it needs like the entire garage needs to be like torn down and rebuilt, the kitchen needs to be totally redone. And like my wife and I are pretty handy and like doing a lot of this stuff and got in over our heads just from a commitment level with a couple of things, and to where like we will have done all of those things I listed in 4 months, basically. And it's just like, we just finished putting a new floor in the kitchen, and I don't know if you've ever laid tile before, but it is like, I will never, ever, ever do it in my life again. Yeah, but honestly, to the point where like I was so kind of burnt out on the house that it affected work, and like that just shouldn't happen. So yeah, I think it's tough, and I think that like I'm like you're talking about with the weather, like it's so nice to see our kitchen be done now, and it's so nice to not have after dinner every night that thing to work on, to where I can actually enjoy time with my kids or go for a walk or do whatever in the evening. That like you don't know how, I don't want to say you don't know how bad it is when you're in the middle of it, but like once you're on the other side, you realize, wow, like, okay, this is like how life should be. It's a broader lesson for me of I'm definitely not a minimalist person. My wife is. The beautiful thing about being more minimalist is it's just easier because there's less shit to deal with. Like it's not like this blissful thing. It's just like easier, you know? It's like if you have less projects going on outside of work, then you're able to give more of your mental energy to work, if that's what you want. Or you can give more of your mental energy to a hobby or whatever, but you don't have this kind of time and mental space obligation to something else, like, you know, laying tile or, you know, fixing the fence or whatever. So that's,
yeah,
I definitely feel you.
It's been interesting where the house projects have made me realize, just made more of the issues at Saberson obvious to me, where like in my own like personality flaws, where I naturally will have too much work in progress. Because usually what happens is I'll get really excited about something, start digging into it, make some progress, and then like run into something that's like a roadblock. And it's like, I don't really want to figure this out right now. I get on a call, whatever else happens. The next day, I look at my Google, like, I don't want to figure this out. Let me just do the next thing. And then you find you have like five loose ends just hanging around. And at work, it weighs on me, but for the most part, it doesn't have major consequences. I think like when it impacts other people and is higher priority, like that's a bit different. But it's like at the house, when I'm trying to figure out how to switch out, I am a complete beginner at all this stuff. And I feel like I've learned a good amount, but first project was like swapping out light switches for the smart light switches. And no idea what I was doing. I had a friend show me at his newer house and I was like, oh, this looks really easy. I open up our wire. I'm like, oh, these wires do not look anything like this. And then I was just like, oh, and then like this one is weirdly connected to this other thing. And I don't, okay. And so then I would be like, yeah, like I'm just not going to finish this one tonight. And then it'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to do it tomorrow either. And I'd pick up something new. And there would just be like five half finished projects around the house. And it would bother me, but I was just like, whatever. Like, I just don't want to deal with it. And then for my wife, it was more like, no, like we just like, don't do it. Like if you wouldn't have started, I wouldn't have cared. But like now that you start, like you got to finish it. And so that really drove home the point of just limiting work in progress is important, because it's just so hard to move forward when there's so much going on and you're bouncing back and forth between a lot of things. It's, yeah, you also just see the value of like scoping things out. It's like, this is the dumbest one where our kitchen, it's not small, but like the wall space between the cabinets and everything and the counters, like there's not a ton of wall space. So we want to put in a backsplash. It's really not that big. And it's like, okay, like, yeah, let's do that. And then it's like, oh, but like, weirdly, these outlets aren't centered. I'm going to center them. And I was like, okay, like that was harder than I thought. And like, fortunately, I had worked with like replacing outlets and lights and everything else. Like I knew how to do it. But like, that was a day of just like doing that, then patching the drywall and everything else. And it's like, all right, so that delayed it. And then I was like, oh, what do we do with on these spots where it's not as though the tile goes to a cabinet, it's just like to like an open wall. Like it feels weird to just like end it there. It's like, what do we do? And then it's like, all right, like, yeah, that's, it took forever to figure out what to do there. And I don't even know the thing, but there's like metal stripping you can put there. You can get like bullnose tiles, but you don't want to have a vertical line and a horizontal line that are open edges. And so you're supposed to line up the cabinet, even if the counter goes a little further. And there's all this like random shit that I'm like sorting through in real time. And then I was like, oh, this massive bay window over the sink, that's like, we're going to have double edges on it. Maybe I should trim this out. And then it's like, okay, like it just never ends. And you plan out these projects that you think it's like, yeah, a couple days. And it'll be like for a few hours each day, a couple days, we'll get it done. And then a week later, like sleepless nights of just like me painting this thing after I've been like caulking and putting everything else on there. It's just like, this is nuts. And it's because, yeah, like I don't know enough, but I still just jump right in rather than putting in the work ahead of time. But looping back to the original point though, is it's just like when you leave house to go to work, you don't have to worry about all that shit. Like you don't have to look at the lights that don't work and you don't have to deal with the unfolded laundry and everything else. But when you're working from home, it's just right there in front of you. And I really find I have a hard time separating the two, and in the way that you're talking about, which I feel like doesn't get talked about enough. But so it's a challenge. I think I'm almost envious of people who are able to go to work. And it's not as though they're like, oh yeah, we're going to come home and it's going to be a perfect house and everything else. But it's like, you don't at least have to see it all day. I mean, what's it like when kids come into the picture? Like that's what we're getting ready for. And that's where I'm just like, oh boy, like I'm just dealing with putting up a backsplash. But
I mean, like, so our kids are 9 and 11. The biggest challenge here is they get home at 2:30 in the afternoon. So it's like right in the middle of the afternoon and they have the rest of the day to do stuff. And then like after 5 or whatever, they have activities like several days a week. So like there's that 2:30 or whatever to 5 that's like they're home. They want to see me. I want to see them. But then I have to go back to work. So usually around that time, I take a little bit of a break and then say, hey, I have to go finish work. And then at 5, you know, I'll come down and we'll play or do whatever. For you, it will be different because like there's no time schedule or anything like that. So yeah, I mean, like I think that that goes the other way of like being able to work and then being able to go away and like do not work. Like I think is important when you have that kind of like constant pressure on your time and attention, like a newborn would have.
Have you thought about getting an office, like not like a cashless office, but like a co-working space or just someplace to go?
I have more than thought about it. We have an office. Matt, who does like all of our like multimedia content, like podcast and video stuff, has an office and a co-working space. It's like 45 cool. minutes from here. It's in New Bedford. And it's awesome. He's got it tricked out. The walls painted and soundproofing, all this kind of stuff. It's a little far for me to go to on a regular basis, but I've been twice since we've been here. But I want to buy like an office building and subdivide it into private offices because they're a shit. And it doesn't matter. It's not just here. It's everywhere. There are a shit ton of people that are working from home now, at least some or most of the time, that don't want to go to a co-working space. Room like mine is here that's like 8x10 or whatever. And they want to be able to close the door and have all their shit here all the time. And they'll pay $500 a month for it. But they don't want to pay $2,500 a month. And so I think that's like, it's a business I might kind of do on the side. Because I think there's a massive opportunity. Just buy a thing, put up some walls, put desks and chairs in it, and rent it out to people on a like more permanent basis. Because that's how I would want it. Like, I want to pay $500 a month for a little space that's just mine. And I can go, and it's just right down the street. You know, and I can come home for lunch and then I can go back and I can go home at 5 and then there's that separation.
Yeah, because that's, I think when I was living in Austin, I went to the WeWork there. It's a cool spot, but like if you have the hot desk or whatever, where it's just like you show up and sit wherever, you don't have a monitor, you come with a laptop, you can bring your mouse and everything else. But like it's for me, I can be productive there, but I don't have like my setup where I'm like, all right, like I'm going to do real work now. And I also don't like a ton of noise, just people around me. It just distracts me. And so having like my own space that's not at the house, but is also quiet or at least like separate is important. But the bigger thing too is just having it being close by, because that's where it's like, I kind of want it both ways where I'm like, like working from home can get really tiring, but I don't want to commute that far. And it's like, there's plenty of places in Portland, like 15 minutes away from us. But if I have to drive 15 minutes, try to find parking and all that, I'm just not going to go.
Yeah. And it's not every day, right? You probably only want to do that a couple times a day or a couple times a week.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to find some options for that nearby, because even just like mixing up the scenery, that's something I would do a decent amount when we were living in like real Texas, like rural Texas. There was like a Starbucks. I'd just go there sometimes to get some work done, but I'd go to like the library just to get out of the apartment. And there was like, those are the two options. There was nowhere else to go, but it was still really nice to just like mix up the scenery, because when you're just like staring at the same walls and everything all day, every day, you can go a little bit crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think mixing it up is hugely important. I feel a lot more productive when I'm not at home, because like that's work time, you know, like when we're in France, like I would go to co-working like maybe once a week. And like, yeah, when I'm here, this is work and I want to get as much shit done as I can while I'm here so I can go home and, you know, be with family. Like it's super productive. I think, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit, maybe not on the podcast, but I think there's going to be a movement from totally remote to regional, I'll say maybe, you know, and like that would be my most ideal is like, I would love to hire people who can drive to see me, or I can drive to see them, or you know, whatever. Take a cheap Southwest flight once a month or something like that. Like I think that would be amazing. So you can be remote most of the time, and you can come in every once in a while. But I think that would be awesome. Of course, there's times where like we want and need to have people in South America or Ukraine or whatever, and that's cool. But I think that having a kind of regional team is cool too. Nobody wants to go to the office all the time, but I think these days a lot of people want to see other people, you know, and even for work. So,
yeah. And it's still one of those challenges too, where you're balancing the spontaneity and everything else that comes from real life interactions with the fact that if someone has to get on a plane, unless your company is printing money, and they're like a highly compensated employee, like maybe once a month they would come in. If you're limited to pretty much like driving a couple hours, you're just limited a lot by who you can hire. And that's, to me, more of the scary part of it. And I think where companies can do it wrong is either is going remote, but not being too picky about who they hire. And it's like that's the main advantage. And I think any company, if you have the same caliber of people, in general, there's going to be some caveats, but I would say way more often than not, is going to be more productive in person than at home. And I'm sure there's people like screaming right now. They're like, I do so much better work, this and that. I'm like, yes, that may be true. And there is the value of deep work and focus work. But like whenever you do a retreat, or even for us, like we don't have official retreats, but just through the world championships for all the major sports for DraftKings and FanDuel, it just so happens that most of the owners in the company qualify for all those. And I get to tag along as a plus one. And like, we do like a mini owners retreat at a lot of these. And it's like so much value comes from just getting together and being able to like shoot the shit and not be on Zoom, that even if it costs some hour to hour productivity, the big ideas, the big changes come from that kind of stuff that's hard to miss. And like, if you're not getting any of that, that's okay. Like, but you have to take advantage of, okay, like, well, we're going to hire the best people so that we can still get some edge somewhere. But I guess that's, to me, is a scary part, is we've really leaned into just finding really good people wherever they may be. And we're all over the place. Like, there's two in New York. I'm up in Maine. And then that's it for like this area. And then it's all throughout the rest of the country. And then Canada, we have two in Canada, two in South America. And so it's just like finding that balance is just tough.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a Startups for the Rest of Us episode that Rob did with Einar. And he brought up a really interesting point that like you see Google and Facebook and these mega corporations bringing everyone back into the office. And Einar posited, and I think it's probably right, that like they have the data that productivity is worse remotely, and that people in the office are more productive and get more stuff done because they just have like, they're a big enough company to be able to have the systems and the process and then the, you know, monitoring of folks to be able to see like, hey, we shipped this many lines of code and we, you know, did these many marketing campaigns and stuff like that. And like, it's 100% true. Cause like, it's a rare day when I put in 8 hours, you know, like, I don't know if I should say it on a podcast, but I don't work more than 40 hours many weeks, you know? And it is because like I start at 8 most mornings, but then I take a break for lunch. And then my kids come home at 2:30 and I kind of work off and on until about 5. And like, I think that's a lot of people, you know? And they say, yeah, I work 9 to 5 or whatever, but life happens and like you don't have to punch the clock when you're working remotely.
Right. So it's also like the laundry and it's all these other things that like you're going to be there. Like, yeah, you're at your computer ish for 40 hours a week or probably more. Cause I think that's where a lot of people complain. It's like, oh, like I'm always at my computer. But it's like, yeah, but you get the flexibility to do things when they need to get done. But, and I mean, I think there's layers to it as well where you will, in an in-person environment, you're going to have more interruptions. And I think, especially engineers, hate that. And like, I am not an engineer, but like, I do lean more towards like, I hate getting interrupted and this and that. But there are times where interruptions are like all those interruptions, unless it's just someone coming in to like shoot the shit with you, it's to like get unblocked on something. And I think it takes a special person to really be productive remotely on their own, or it takes like a highly regimented organization where you have project managers and you have people whose job it is to make sure like everyone has what they need. And if something doesn't, they're going to follow up with it. Because that's the thing, is like when you can't just pop into someone's office and like, oh, like they're 10 hours off right now, like I'm gonna have to wait till tomorrow to figure this out. Like that stuff really adds up. And so even if each individual has less deep work, I think just the unblocking, the ease of getting unblocked is really important. But I don't know. I mean, I don't see us at this point. We're definitely bought into this, but I think it all depends on the structure of the company and what you're building and what you're trying to make it. Because I think for us, a lot of it is, I mean, our team lives on the internet. Like, they grew up on computers. Like, this is what we're going to do regardless. And we'll find ways to make it work. But it's just like, our team is just very young and they're really digital first, all the stuff first, and are able to get things done effectively. And I think I want us to start working in more in-person retreats and making that more regular of an occurrence, because we haven't done a full team retreat yet. But it's, yeah, there's just so many trade-offs. There's no right solution, wrong solution. And I think that's where it gets tiring and all the debates and everything else, where it's like, oh, like, this is, it's work from home is the future. And then people are like, oh no, you got to be in the office. And it's like, well, like, there's pros and cons to all of it. It's just figuring out what works. And
I'll leave us on a cliffhanger, maybe. And like, it's because this is a huge thing that I'm working on right now. And it is that I am not a very organized person. And so I lead like that. You know, I am a unorganized manager, I think. And it's a result of working remotely and being kind of async from the majority of our team for a long time. In that, like, I think a lot of us that are remote first, small companies like this do a poor job, and I'm speaking for myself and maybe for you too, but like, I do a poor job of setting expectations. Like, we have a job description, but it's very loose, and we didn't have any job descriptions internally until about 6 months ago. Having a process and a system for giving feedback and receiving feedback and actioning on that, career planning, and just this kind of communication loop that real companies, quote, have. And this is the thing. Even hiring the best people, they want all that stuff because they want to know if they're doing a good job. And even if it's just the kind of virtual Slack high five thing, that's fine. But I think there needs to be a lot more than that for people to feel successful. And for you as a manager or founder or whatever, to feel successful with your teams. So, like, this is an enormous thing that I'm looking at. And I hope by the time we talk next week, I'll have more on how we're approaching this, because I think this is maybe a big thing of, like, in-person versus remote. Maybe it doesn't really matter. It's how you tackle these things. Because this is what we're really talking about, is how do you communicate and work as a team? And for me, these things past, like, hiring great people, these things of, like, and maybe it even, like, stems from OKRs. Maybe that's kind of how I started thinking about it. But, like, it's got to be more consistent than that. Because, like, quarterly is just not, doesn't cut it. But anyways, that's maybe the next part of this discussion.
Yeah. And it goes with what I've said too, is just realizing I need to accept my role as a manager and not, like, I shouldn't own any individual project where, like, it's suspected that I'm the one delivering it. And we're not there yet by any means. But I think when these challenges become a priority in your company, that's the position you have to take, because, like, someone's got to really own that. And it's really easy to just go through the motions. And in person, a lot of those things will happen naturally. And you're still going to have some attrition because you weren't paying enough attention to this and that. But, like, you're going to have more conversations with people. You're going to have more FaceTime. You're going to have more of that. And so you can be a little less regimented about it. But remotely, it's got to be a bigger priority. I mean, someone has to own that. And for us, like, that's going to be me. And so that means I need to free myself up from more of the day-to-day. And so I think you're in a similar spot where we're both trying to figure out how we're going to get there. What are the next hires? How do we need to change processes? What do we have to do? But I think we're both in agreement where it needs to be something that real thought is put into it. And rather than just hoping that through osmosis, just by working with each other for so long, that, like, we're just going to figure out what these people, what our teammates want and what their goals are and where they're getting blocked and everything else. It's like, no, like, we have to go out there and be a bit more proactive about it.
Yep. Yep. So stay tuned for part two. We have a new part one. But yeah, I think it's super interesting topic, and hopefully other folks are relating to the same things that they're going through in their businesses. So, Andy, always great to catch up. Folks listening, if you're enjoying the show, please share it with someone who you think would enjoy it too. And we'll see y'all next week.
See you, everybody.